Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Insights. Thank you for tuning in, and we have yet another wonderful show for you. The primary goal, I think, for all of us is to live the best life possible. But when life feels heavy, we have to remember to look at the lighter, brighter side of life. Our guests tonight are Steve and Michelle, education professionals with over 15 years of experience, and they're going to share their unique message about living your best life. And I think they know what they're talking about because since launching their own internet radio show in 2009, Laugh or Go Crazy, they have over 150,000 listeners and over 1 million downloads on iTunes. Steve and Michelle, a warm welcome to both of you. Welcome to the Spiritual Insights family of motivational individuals. How are you?
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show. And I want to first congratulate you on the popularity of your show. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a surprise to us, too.
That's what I wanted to ask. Did you ever think?
You know, it's funny. People, you know, in the beginning when, you know, we started the podcast 4 years ago, we really did it for us. Like, we did it to communicate to each other because we live in different towns. And it really was done to get our story across to each other. And so that's really how it started. And, you know, it kind of evolved into a very popular show with regular listeners around the world. And we just love it. You know, so we kind of create this community of love and laughter each week on the Internet. And we couldn't be happier.
That's terrific. And I'm sure, you know, when things are meant to be, they come as a huge surprise, even if maybe you did have a couple daydreams about it. But I'm curious as to how you became interested in spiritual comedy. What was the chain of events that led you to add broadcasting to your resume? Did you both sit down and talk about it? What transpired?
Well, Steve really surprised me with us going, like, on air, so to speak, or on the Internet. You know, Charlotte, honestly, we just laughed. We laughed so much together, and we, in the past, before we were live on air, just amongst ourselves, talked about so many different things, just about living a better life, being a better person. And throughout all of this, we would laugh and laugh and laugh, and it was so natural that it just kind of evolved in that way. It wasn't anything that we planned. We really would have never expected this to happen. And we just became such good friends. Actually, we became such good friends while grieving the death of a friend. Steve and I had worked together about 12 years ago, right on the same grade level, with a mutual friend of ours who had cystic fibrosis. And she was very good friends with Steve, and I was very good friends with her. And I really wasn't friendly with Steve. Like, we were hello, goodbye, yet we worked across the hall for about 3 years together. And then I left and had children. And when I came back, she passed. So I think we were both kind of left there. And we just developed such a great friendship. And we started with recorders. What happened was we were going through all of this process together. And we were doing a lot of fundraising for her cause. And we would laugh and laugh and laugh and talk and talk. And Steve said, you know, I have so much to tell you. I'm going to purchase two recorders for us, and we'll swap.
I'm going to tell a story on my way home. He had like an hour ride home. He said, and in the morning, I'll give you the recorder, and you can listen to it at night whenever you have free time, and you respond. And we built this really incredible relationship and bond. And then one thing led to another, and I went on vacation and came home to find that we were on Podbeam. So we decided to have conversations and record them, and that's really what happened.
So you came home from vacation, he had it all set up on Podbeam.
Yes, and the first recording was...
You sneaky devil.
You know, Charlotte, I knew she would never say yes. if I ask permission. So I said, look, let me just post this up here. And my first recording was an apology for posting it up there. It was so funny.
Oh, my God.
But yes. And, you know, I had to bring her out of her shell, Charlotte. I mean, you know, dealing with this one.
Hey.
So now she's, you know, she's all set. But I did that, and she allowed me to. And you
with
know,
much resistance.
With much resistance. And it's funny because through the months and the years that we've been doing it, she's been definitely, we were talking earlier off the air about getting out of our own way. And I'm sure you'll talk about that tonight a little bit. And we kind of started to get out of our own way.
And you know what happened for me? We started receiving emails and feedback, you know, and we didn't expect it, you know, especially years ago. And when I realized and accepted that we were actually helping people, and we didn't realize it, like people were responding and calling and not calling, I'm sorry, emailing and thanking us and just saying it's so refreshing and this is great. I've made a lot of changes in my life and telling us their story. And then I realized that this is so, you know, I have to stop being so cautious and you know, I had to get out of my own way. And that's really what did it.
I totally relate. But so let
yeah,
me rephrase the question. Right?
I'm
but
sorry,
Steve, let me rephrase the question. So you're swapping the recorder back and forth and kind of have this dialogue going at different time periods. Was there like just a thought, or did you go to find a website by accident that said, oh, I can do a podcast?
You know, I didn't even know what it was called, Charlotte. You know, this was 4 years ago. You know, not many people knew what podcasts were, to be honest.
I know.
And now it's the hot thing. You know, everybody's doing a podcast. I think my mother's doing a podcast from her
Oh, my God.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, now you hear podcasts all the time. But think about 4 years ago. I mean, it really was not too many. So I just really searched the Internet and just tried to find a hosting company that would upload my MP3 file that Michelle and I had recorded. And basically it just happened to be Podbeam. And we have this great relationship with Podbeam, you know, 4 years later. And we had to grow, you know, with that company because we ran out of space, Charlotte. I mean, we would, you know, we would just outgrow the bandwidth that we, the site we were on. But anyway, so basically we're here and, you know, we're kind of just loving the that site, you know.
Charlotte, are you asking what, like, inspired Steve to even put us on the computer, like,
right,
on the Internet? Yeah.
Right. And how did you segue from doing the recorder to the podcast?
Crazy. Yeah. Well, I just feel that I think it's, you know, thinking back 4 years ago, what made me do it, I think it was just an instinct. You know, at that time, you know, our friend Jen had died. And we were getting a lot of signs, you know, whether you believe in signs or not with people who have passed, you know, that's up to you and that's up to the audience to decide. But we were getting so many signs, Charlotte. You know, it was just a feeling. It pushed me. You know, it was April break. I sat down and it was something coming through me to say, hey, dummy, the dead is talking to me. They're like, dummy, put this on the Internet. And watch, just watch, you know, build it and it will come.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the field of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. You know, it reminded me of Julie and Julia. You know that movie?
I do.
And what really motivated her? I mean, I think she just wanted to be heard. And I don't know. You know, thinking back, I think there's a part of me that wanted to tell my story. And Jen's story, you know, our friend, and I knew Michelle had a wonderful story. And mm-hmm. so I just posted it, and here we are.
And how often would you go on the air? Was it weekly?
No, back then, monthly, every 2 months. I mean, but then we realized what had happened is people started to rely on us. And that's wonderful. You know, people would email saying, where are you guys? You know, did you go away? Please don't stop. And we started to feel, I wouldn't say a sense of obligation, but a responsibility to just kind of stay, with the audience and grow with them.
Right.
I think that we grew so much just individually after ourselves doing this that it just, like, we needed to do it to get back on track with our own life. You know, sometimes you veer down the wrong road or, you go back to your old ways. Once we did a podcast, it's like we all of a sudden straightened up, and we realized once again what we should be doing, being in the moment, bringing us back to, all of the good stuff. And it's inspired us like a spiritual tune-up. That's one of our podcasts. Sometimes you just need a little help getting back on track.
Yes, it's almost like the airplane is finally flying straight.
Right, exactly.
Does that resonate? Okay. Well, it's fantastic. I love this story. And I am sorry for the loss of your friend. I'm sure she's with us now. So hello to Jen. And we do things like that here.
Yeah, I feel her. There are times in throughout the year and the days that you feel people more than others, other times.
Yes.
And I think we feel people, whether they're alive or dead.
Yes, we do.
More when we're present and when we're centered and balanced. You know, I mean, did you ever find yourself in the room of a crowd, your loved ones, and you don't feel connected?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel that you're there, but you're there. And you're thinking about what you have to do. And you're just not, and so there, and we always talk about this, the frequency, our frequency is blocked to receive. And so when you're balanced, and this is what the whole point of the show is, and your show, I think, as well, Charlotte, is
mm-hmm.
that unblocking yourself so that you can receive what the universe has to offer. And it's unlimited, and it's endless, and it's abundant, and it's wonderful. And also the energy of other people. You know, when you're blocked and you're stuck and you're carrying around baggage that, I've carried around baggage for years. And, I talk about this on the show. And by telling your story and by looking back and looking forward and looking at where you are now and taking inventory unblocks you and you're able to receive the love from other people.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. So it feels to me like your show, so you guys get on the air and you basically have a conversation, and of course there's a lot of laughter and not taking life so seriously that it really beats you up. So it sounds like the listeners get an idea to kind of peek through a window at your lives, together and separate, and then just relate to you and share in whatever it is that you're sharing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And I think that's what happened. I think that they listen to our stories, and some people relate more to Steve, some people relate more to me. Sometimes on different days they relate to one of us more than the other just because as close as we are, we have very different lives, And it's quite a road. It's quite a journey. So.
And, the comedy, just to get back to, because, what also we hear is, there's people out there, doing what we're doing probably better. That's for other people to judge. But what we offer is the realness. And, there was one podcast that we did. I think it was Superhero Syndrome, that I was really depressed, Charlotte. I was going through, but I was very sad. It was a period not too long ago
mm-hmm.
Of adjustment. Of moving out of my home and moving into a new home and, jumping into a relationship and just construction and work issues and health bumps along the road and things
mm-hmm.
weren't aligned for me. But I wasn't afraid to share that on the radio. And see, that's the difference. between what we're doing, what show we're doing, and maybe, you know, a show more established, perhaps a Deepak Chopra or a Wayne Dyer, who we listen to, and then we think they're great. And however, I don't know how much you can connect with them on a personal level.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Well, actually, like as a friendship, like you can connect. I think they're amazing, and we both agree. We've learned a lot from them. However, people can actually talk to us. Like we respond. So I think it's real. It's like more of a friendship that actually can work and can happen.
Absolutely.
And, you know, your show, Charlotte, you know, just by listening to you and what you're offering, it sounds like you're doing very similar things where you're very real and you don't have airs on. And you're not trying to be unobtainable. Like, for instance, there's sometimes when I read a spiritual book, because I need a tune-up, you know, even us, you know.
Sure.
And you're reading a book, and it's just so unobtainable in terms of what they expect you to do. They want you to almost levitate, you know, above your problems. And, you know, I'm not there yet. And I'm okay with saying that. I'm better than I used to be. But I'm not quite there yet. And I think that's refreshing for the audience.
I do, too. And that's what I set out to do. And I can levitate. I've levitated, but it has never solved the problem for me. It's never given me the answers I set out to do. Here's what I set out to do. I'm extremely intuitive. I'm a psychic medium, and that started for me as a child. But when I would go to other psychics and say someone said, oh, you have an issue with abandonment, and I said, yes, I do. How do I fix that? And no matter who I asked that question or something similar, every one of the responses was to shrug their shoulders. And I said, when I was around 16, 17, I said, that is completely unacceptable. So I set out to find out how one goes about releasing a fear of abandonment so that the pattern doesn't keep repeating, how to relinquish negative fears and hopes and negative beliefs. I set out to get that information so that when someone asked me that question, by the time someone came and started asking me questions, I knew how to help them. Okay, yeah, I can tap in and tell you all about your past and whatever, and that's okay, that's great. It's a cool talent. But to be able to help somebody over the hurdle of themselves and explain what they're really depressed about or what's really affecting their life today when it's a bad memory from your childhood conditioning, that was where it became rewarding. And then in starting the show, I was able to share whatever I've got. Everybody's welcome to it, whatever I have. And I knew that if I started the show, I'd have to be what my husband and I refer to. I had to be honest like Oprah.
Right, right.
And at first there was like a little fear there, you know, like, well, but it came down to, you know, you don't have to give specific details. But I can say, yeah, I had a terrible childhood. But I found a way to find peace. It's okay. And if maybe my suggestions might help you or maybe you need someone else, I would encourage you to find that answer wherever it is. But, yes, I totally get your point about being able to reach out and connect and – you know, I guess when people's popularity grows to the – Wayne Dyer is absolutely tremendous. I love him as well. But how do you make a connection? It's almost impossible. There's this large chasm between. So I think for both of us and both of our shows, the connectedness, the relatedness is probably the keys to the success that we're both enjoying right now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's what makes it personal and it makes it real and, you know, knowing that if listening to someone, and I learn so much through other people. I learn what to do and I learn what not to do. You know, I learn from people's mistakes. And sometimes, you know, if I'm going through a hard time, I either take from other people and the things that they do to help themselves. Or, like Steve and I will talk about it, and I'll say, well, I'm trying this, and I'm trying that. And I think it just is food for thought for a lot of people, who just want, need a little something. You know, just, it can be as simple as, you know, going to the coffee shop and buying a beautiful mug that you love and getting your favorite cup of coffee and just sitting for an hour. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just little things that bring us to a place of peace. And, you know, when we get things from different people, I try to take as much as I can from everyone, especially the things I like. I notice that more as I get older. I observe and I listen and I look at people, and what I admire about them, I try to, you know, establish in my own personality and in my own way with other people. And I think we all learn from each other. That's basically what it comes down to, as long as we're open.
That's beautiful, and it mirrors very closely what I've done in my life. I became a people watcher. I became an observer, and that's how I learned to kind of pick up on their feelings. And I'm very empathic, and it started with a class clown in fifth grade. Fifth grade. And
I
found that when he was his funniest, that was his most insecure moment. And I watch him, and then I watch how people react. And then, you know, sometimes you could see energy threads in the air with all the, you know, the goofy psychic stuff. But I really became an observer of others and their behavior, and I didn't have the type of upbringing that teaches you proper etiquette on a telephone, proper etiquette in a doctor's office or a movie theater. You know, I had to learn by making mistakes. And then getting into the work world after high school, I made a ton of mistakes with behavior and personality. So here's what I believe. The personality is a series of masks that we compile to protect us and protect our fears from other people. So I said, okay, well, why don't I construct a personality where people will never be judged in my presence? I will do unto others as I would have them do unto me. I take the Ten Commandments quite seriously. What goes around comes around, and what comes back to you comes three times stronger. And that's basically how I've lived my life. And so I sculpted this personality, and I seem to have done a pretty good job, because the way people respond to me, the hugs that I get from strangers, and people, you know, you'll hear often if you tune into my show, the things that happen to me at Walmart are astounding, that people want to come up to you and ask a question and they don't know why, and you can see the confusion in their face. And I open my face, I open my heart, and I walk up to them and I say, because you can. What can I help you with? We spend some time talking. It never gets in the way of my schedule. They give me a hug and they go away. And that is one of the most beautiful rewards I could ever receive in doing what I do. So I totally resonate with you, your story, and Steve. Both of you are just amazing. And I've gotten some really great feedback from the short time I've been doing my show, but what have people told you they've gained from listening to you two have your discussions? Have you had some profound testimonies of, like, something specific is what I mean?
Right, right. Well, we did, you know, one email comes to mind. I forgot her name, but she's in Australia. And we were talking about our summer list, because, you know, we do a summer list every year. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, because obviously we're off in the summer. But we don't want to just lay around. We want to live our best lives. So we come up with sort of the bucket list of the summer.
Okay.
And it could be, you know, simple as get a vanilla ice cream cone, or, you know, sit in the park with a blanket, you know, whatever it is. So we were talking about that on the air, and we were talking about making your ordinary extraordinary. Making your ordinary life extraordinary. And we were talking about ways to do that. And Michelle was talking about her ways, and I was talking about mine, and whatever, whatever. And then we get this email from Australia about how she's going into her winter when we're going into our summer, and she was starting to feel very depressed. And she was, she was just not feeling extraordinary at all. And so she started to listen, and we inspired her to take art and design classes. I don't know if you remember that, Michelle.
I do.
And so she said, because of us, she registered at the university. She might have been in her early 30s. And she registered at the, the University in Sydney, whatever. And she started to live her dream of wanting to be a designer and, designer, photographer, I can't remember. But that was like a wow, because here we are, you know, Michelle in her bathrobe. You know, I'm in the living room. This is how we do our show, Charlotte. I mean, it's a low-budget show.
I hear you.
I'm in my flannel pajamas with my dog next to me, and we're changing people's lives just
well,
by
they're changing their
they're life. Changing their lives, but we're changing ours. And we were trying to figure out what it is that we're offering. And basically we're offering an example of our own journey and our own extraordinary, so people can get inspired and we could be the catalyst for their own.
You're speaking your own truth is what you're speaking, and they can feel it.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't
and, you
think?
Know, I just want to, absolutely. We also, just one other email comes to mind, and the reason I bring it up is because I found it to be so profound. This woman emailed us, and she said her and her husband have been wanting to move for years, and they keep making excuses about, you know, not leaving their job, saving up money. And there was one podcast that we had that was Why Wait? And she emailed us and said, we are moving. Our house is, you know, we put the house up for sale, and we're moving. And then they emailed us again to tell us that they moved, and this is definitely where they were meant to be, and they couldn't be happier. They both found jobs. Like, it was just what they were supposed to do all along, but it took them a while. And it was the podcast that they said inspired them. You know, it's what they said. But, you know, that's when you stop and you think, wow, you know, this is such a wonderful journey for us, you know. It's
yes.
just truly a gift.
And you never know the impact when you do sit and speak your truth. You never really see the ripple effect of how it affects others. Now, how are those two people going to affect the people around them when they see someone, one of their loved ones or acquaintances stuck, and they're going to say, throw in the towel, let go, let it happen, allow everything to change. And so just that one podcast, while it might seem silly to us, like, oh, it's just a podcast. No, it's not. It's truth. And truth resonates, and then it has that ripple effect, and that is a beautiful example. I love it. I love it. But, you know, I did go through a few of the titles of your podcast, in particular over the summer, and Steve, you mentioned you were having a tough time at some point, and it felt like maybe around that time, but you did a number of compelling episodes, and you mentioned on it, you actually touched on it for a second, but I had it planned as a question, and I'd like to ask you about a couple of those, if that's okay?
Absolutely, Charlotte.
Okay, so the one show that you mentioned, you did a podcast on what you call superhero syndrome. So my question is, what are some of the characteristics of superhero syndrome? Because I know a lot of us do that to ourselves, and I have an idea in my head of what it is, but I want to hear your thoughts. And how can those of us who do take on too much gain a better perspective about self-nurturing?
That's a very good question. Well, the superhero syndrome episode, just to touch on it, was about taking on too much. You know, whether you're a mom, whether you're, you know, you want to be everywhere to everyone. You know, you want to be everything to everyone. You want to be, you know, the class mom, the soccer coach. You want to run the kids here and there. And, you know, there becomes a time, you know, it's funny, I talk about this personally with my brother because he's a wonderful, I mean, you know, you couldn't meet a better dad. He's terrific.
Mm.
However, somewhere along the line, he, in my opinion, and, you know, we're starting to notice, he's getting lost. His personal identity is being sacrificed because he's becoming the superhero. And so we talked about that. And, you know, Michelle was, you know, had some personal insights on that topic, and she was learning to balance, you know, just saying yes to everyone. And we talked about the high quality no. That it's okay to say no as long as it's coming from the right place. You know, you shouldn't say yes and regret it and just sort of like mull through it. You can't say yes to everybody, Charlotte. So
yeah.
The superhero syndrome, you know, it was great. And it was also talking about, you know, we also talked about keeping score in your relationships, you know, and that's a big issue with people, you know.
That's a deal breaker.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you could be running the kids around all day long, cooking, cleaning, running the kids around, and, you know, your partner or spouse is, you know, coming home and, you know, and that causes a big thing. And so we talked a little bit about that, you know, keeping score. And but the superhero syndrome was really a very good episode because it really gave people, I think, permission to say no and not feel guilty about it.
As long as, here's in my book, as long as you're polite when you say no, what's the harm? You don't have to be mean or
and
rude?
No, right. And you could even say no and just say, you know, it doesn't work for me right now. I'm sorry, you know, but another time, definitely.
There are a lot of really good suggestions. What you just said, and I'd love to, but my schedule doesn't permit it. But, you know, perhaps some other time I can help you. Anything that you can come up with, a polite, loving rejection, it shouldn't hurt. If the person reacts,
right,
that's their issue, because that's their ego then attacking you for not bending to their will. But that's an episode in itself, you know. But did you have any other favorites? I liked the idea of the segment on failure. You were talking about failure.
Yeah.
How do you encourage others to redefine failure to achieve their dreams?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just told my class this last week. I originally heard this episode on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And Sanjay Gupta, I believe, on CNN, I was driving to tennis, you know, in my car, and I had the satellite radio going. And I was listening to, I guess they do a segment on CEOs or something. And so the CEO of Spanx, I don't know if you're familiar, Lori Ann Goldman.
Yes, I am familiar with her.
Right. She started this multi-million-dollar, on the way to be a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
And what was so fascinating about her story, because remember, I think we agree, we take inspiration from wherever, and we use it in our own lives as a catalyst. So I heard this story about this woman who started this undergarment, Spanx, and she said, you know, she said to the interviewer, you know, what really made an impact in my life is that my father told me how to redefine failure, that if you're not failing, then you're not trying. And if you're not trying, then, you know, I'm disappointed in you. So basically, every day from elementary school, she'd come home, and, she'd, you know, they'd have dinner around the table. And her father would go around and talk to all the kids, not about how well they did today. Or, you know, did you get 100 on the test? Or, you know, did you score a goal, Johnny? Or, you know, did you make any friends, Susie? No, he wasn't interested in that. He wanted to know what each of the kids failed at today. And then if they didn't have a story on what they failed at, he would be disappointed.
Hmm.
And that's the house they grew up in. And she said, you know, she wanted to come home every day with trying something so above her that she would sure to fail. And she'd come home and tell her dad, and he'd be so excited he'd hug her and kiss her and say, you know what? You know, Lori, good for you. You know what? That means you succeeded in trying. And it was this mantra that she grew up with.
Wow.
And I thought it was a wow too, Charlotte. And I'm like, oh, my God, who thinks like this? And you know, I use it as a little story in my classroom because, you know, sometimes kids are afraid to raise their hand and say they don't get it.
Yes.
They're ashamed at trying a hard problem, so they'll hide from it. You know, they'll sit in the back of the classroom. But, you know, I'm a very funny teacher, so, you know, I tend to bring them out. But, you know, I was afraid to fail. You know, even with this show, Charlotte, once we get out of our way, you know, there was a part of me like, would anybody like it? Does anybody care? You know, why us, you know? And so we all kind of have that in us.
Mm-hmm.
So this Lori Ann Goldman, CEO of Spanx, was talking, and she said, I would go door-to-door selling fax machines in the 80s. And door after door would slam in my face, and I would love it. You know, I'd go home and call my dad up and say, hey, you know what? I tried this. I only sold one fax machine, and 20 people said no. And the dad would be like, yeah, good for you. You didn't make any sales today. But you know what? You succeeded in trying. And so what she did was she took $5,000. That was, you know, I'm kind of telling a very quick story. But she took her last $5,000 in the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And she started this, she said, you know, what's on the market right now for women, this, I guess women were wearing, you know, pantyhose or whatever. She said, I can come up with a better way. So she took that idea, she created it, and she didn't do the garment shows, she didn't do the trade shows like everyone else. She said, my ignorance was my best asset. She said, because I didn't know the proper way to do business, and that helped me. You know, I was looking for the no, and that helped me. And so she just called up, I think it was Bloomingdale's or one of the majors.
Mm-hmm.
She just called right up and she asked for the CEO or whoever was in purchasing, and she said, I'd like to come to the store today with an idea. And they said, sure, come down. And you believe it? Everyone else was doing trade shows and hoping one day someone would come and maybe, and I don't want to call them because they'll say no or they'll hang up on me. And basically, she built her empire with redefining failure and making it that she succeeded in trying. And so that was such an important show for me personally because I used that little story in my personal life. And, you know, because some people are afraid to start relationships, Charlotte, because they're afraid
Absolutely.
That it's going to end divorce. I mean, I come from a, you know, my mother was married, I don't even know how many times, 3 times. My sister, you know, I mean, everyone's, you know, marrying and divorcing, Charlotte. So, you know, I should be definitely afraid to be in a relationship. But you know what? You have to say, if it doesn't work, I succeeded in trying. So let's unblock ourselves.
Right.
So I don't know. I just love that episode. And it's on our site. So I don't know. And, you know, if you want to hear me drone on and on about it again. But I kind of paraphrase it a little bit for you. But that was one of my special shows that I you know, it wasn't
yes.
a funny show, but it was a very inspiring show. So.
No, I want to hear it, and I think everybody should tune in. I think that's a fabulous subject, and I love the visual of – because at first when you started telling the story, I'm thinking, oh, my God, what's this guy doing to this kid?
Right.
But as you get to almost to the punchline aspect, you see that he made her reach higher than she would have reached.
Absolutely.
And that is
Absolutely.
Very inspiring.
And it's
to
very,
reach
you know,
higher
what,
and only get 2 steps up, that's enormous success.
Right, right. It's a very Steve Jobs type thing because he would, you know, he would just, you know, say, let's make this thing flat, you know, and not be afraid to fail. You know, he was a huge failure, by the way, Steve Jobs, before he had a success of the iPhone. I mean, talk about, you know, in fact, Apple, you know, let him go, and he went to Disney. So, you know, he didn't really have a great track record, that Steve Jobs, until he said, you know what, I don't care. Let's make it flat. Let's make this thing flat, you
right.
know, meaning the iPad and the iPhone. And if it fails, I don't care. And that's how we live our best life.
Yes.
We get out of our way.
I saw them the other day on something. I don't know what it was. I don't have a whole lot of time for TV. But it was Lori and Steve. On the show. She's a billionaire now.
Oh, is she?
It's like,
yeah, no.
My hat's
yeah.
off to her.
Yeah. No, by the way, I told a group of 10-year-olds, and they loved it. They were looking at first of all, they first like I was crazy. But let me tell you, they just lit up, and I said, you know what? If this is the only thing you learn that you remember, remember that failure is not what you think. It's you succeeded in trying, and good for you. If you tried to reach above what you thought you can do, and you failed, that's okay. Because one day you're gonna make a home run.
Every effort is
right.
a stepping stone.
Right.
Every effort is a building block. Wow, and I'm sure that was well received by these kids.
Yeah. No, it was. It was.
Okay.
And
well,
Now we all think they could go home and fail their test.
Right.
Parents will be happy.
Oh, my God.
Charlotte, our last test, everyone got a 50. We had a party. No, I'm just joking.
Oh.
No, but... no, so...
That's funny.
But I'm telling you, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the... and I'm going to let Michelle talk. You know, I'm always talking, you know. I never let her get the microphone. you know, you told me the story about... I think you said fourth grade or fifth grade, you know, that story of observing. And
watching the
clinic. Yeah, and, you know, that's so me. You know, there was a time I was seeing, a spiritual advisor therapist, you know, and
yes.
and I think everyone, you know, whatever. And she was asking me, you know, how are you successful today? With the back, you know, with what you went through. You know, really, you got it all together. I mean, you know, and so I said, you know, if I had to think, I said, I don't know if I would change one bit of my past. You know, all of the sadness, heartbreak, and my dad dying at an early age, and all the divorces and the stepfathers that didn't work out, and the deaths of friends. And it made me who I am today. It made Michelle who she is today. And I like me. I love me, and I and I'm proud that I was able to transcend that. Use my comedy, use my funny, you know, Michelle and I, we're funny people because, not because we want to be funny, because, I don't know, we just see things fun, you know, we like laughing.
Uh-huh.
And that got me out of so many things. Fights, it got me out of crying, it
uh-huh.
got me friends. I was able to, I've got so many job opportunities. You know, when you unblock yourself, when you stop hiding, when you stop pretending, and when you just start to laugh, you know, how could you not like someone who laughs? And so, you know, I was that kid in fourth grade. You know, I would be, I wasn't a great student, Charlotte, but back then. But let me tell you, I laughed, and I made the teacher laugh, and I became the observer also, you know, and I learned how to read people.
Uh-huh.
And if I could enter a, you know, I can enter a room, you know, especially with my family. You know, I would enter the room, and I have to see, you know, okay, does my mother, how's her? I have to take everyone's temperature. Is the stepfather okay? All right. Is the mother okay? All right. Is this a good environment? And okay, so if it wasn't a good environment, as you can probably relate to,
mm-hmm.
you can read people, and you have to change it. And I know they didn't have to say a word. I could pick up the energy, and. My, I guess, survival was the comedy. And
yes.
I think, you know, if you interview any comic, they probably would say very similar things.
Hmm. Yes, I'm a lot of the same way. I was on stage a lot growing up, and I wanted to be funny like those kids. So I watched the timing, the inflection in their voices, things that other people thought were funny. And I would roll these around in my head, and then eventually I would start to throw out some kind of quip. My humor is very dry. I'm a Capricorn. And I just have this tongue-in-cheek way of saying things. And I could be talking seriously and telling somebody what someone else did, and here's what I said, and they will be on the floor laughing because of the way I'm saying it. But one day on stage, I said a line, and I didn't think it was all that funny, but 1,000 other people did. And then... You know what I found that contributes to being funny? A lack of embarrassment, being able to laugh at yourself. Because in one scene, I actually fell and hit the floor square on my tailbone. My feet were under this my castmate's butt, and the kids raced to pick me up off the floor. But in doing that, my shoes came off my feet, and they were still under his butt. He was lying down. I was dragging him across the floor. So I looked at the audience, I looked at him, and he looked up at me, he lifted his head off the floor, and I reached under and grabbed my shoes and put them back on. What else was I going to do? But it brought
right.
the house down,
right.
You know what I mean? And I just said, that's probably the moment I said, if you can't laugh at yourself, what have you got? And so other times, I love fall down stories, and one time I fell in the subway in Philadelphia in a $400 Italian silk suit. And I tripped over, I guess, one of those plastic bands they wrap around bundles of newspapers. And the fall to the ground was so slow, in such slow motion, and my arms are pinwheeling. The lunch went flying. The handbag's up in the air, and I'm worried about the suit. I land on the ground on this dirty platform, and everybody's like, oh, honey, you know, and they go to pick me up. And all I could say was, oh, my God, did you see that? Was that the funniest thing? And as I walked away, I was like, look how you handled that. And I felt very proud of myself that I didn't let it be this horrible moment I would cringe about for the rest of my life. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, no, totally. Totally, yeah, I can relate.
We need humor.
Yeah.
We have to. And I think
yeah,
you guys have the right recipe. You know? Do you,
right.
So
and you
obviously,
know, I think the title alone, Laugh or Go Crazy. Oh, you know what? It's funny. I got to tell you this quick story. And then I think Michelle fell asleep over here. Are you still
asleep? I am.
Okay. let me tell you where we got the name, Laugh or Go Crazy, because that is the funniest story. You know, in my chaos, in the chaos of my childhood, I kind of related to the next-door neighbor's family because they were just as crazy as we were.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, every day, you know, little Stevie would go next door and knock on the door, dun, 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 dun. And I'd say, hi, Mrs. So-and-so, can Johnny come out? Oh, yes, Steve, Johnny will be here any minute. You know, we had a flood in the basement. That's right, no water. But what are you going to do? You'll laugh and go crazy, right, Steve? And then I'd be looking at this woman. She said, what does she mean, this laugh and go crazy? And then, you know, little Johnny would come out. You know, I'd be 10 years old, knocking on the door again. Dun, 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 dun. Hi, Mrs. So-and-so. Is Johnny here? Oh, Johnny's in the shower. He'll be out in a second. You know, the driveway, there's a big hole in the driveway. Can't get to work, Steve. I don't even know if we're going to be able to feed the family. But what are we going to do? We'll have to go crazy, right?
Oh, my God.
So I grew up with this crazy lady next door to me.
She sounds great.
She's
safe.
She's great. But, by the way, she's still friends with my mother. Oh, you know, we call them the Black Widows because they both their husbands are dead.
Oh, my God, the Black Widows.
So anyway, this woman.
You
this
would
woman,
get a my husband, it's frightening. Because he can turn anything into something funny, like you. Oh, my God, the
right.
Black Widow. Let me write that down. I have to tell him about it. Good. I'm listening.
So anyway, my mom and her, you know, were the, you know, obviously we were the, you know, the freaks of the block because we were the first ones to get a divorce and a microwave, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
So I go next door, and this woman, every time I would ask for my friend Johnny to come out, she would tell me this horrible, horrific story that happened to her. You know, because things, you know, life wasn't aligning for her. You know, she got the divorce. Her husband tried to, you know, whatever. And so breast cancer, I don't even know. But at the end, she would always say, what are you going to do, Steve? You laugh or you go crazy. And she would laugh like this witch, you know. And I would be like, you know what? You're right. All you can do is laugh because your life is falling apart. And so fast forward to 4 years ago, Michelle and I were trying to think of a name for the show. You know, all of a sudden we have a show. What are we going to name the show? First we wanted to write a book. Forget the show. Originally we just wanted to write a book, which we still do. Oh, I think Michelle woke up. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Michelle. Give her some caffeine.
Yeah, no, she's fine. No, I'm going to let her talk in a second, but we wanted to, maybe when the show's
sure
over.
Sure you will.
So I said,
no, I'll give you your own segment. Don't worry about
right.
it. Laughing is crazy, right?
Right. I said, what are we going to name this book? And I looked at her and I said, why don't we name it Laugh or Go Crazy? Because that's all you can do. Our friend just died.
Right.
You know, and we're laughing.
I mean, we laughed.
I mean, Charlotte, we cried until we laughed. And we feel guilty because the energy was so strong between us when we were mourning our friend. That we all we did was laugh.
Yeah.
And we said that's the name of the book.
Yeah.
And part of me really thinks that she, you know, she had a lot to do with this because that is the truth. The energy was so strong and there was so much laughter and so many things going on, but we made light of them and they were funny. I mean, laughing so hard we were crying. And we were, like, on a site setting up, you know, a fundraiser walk. So, and that's the way she was. So, I don't know. I think that she really was the spark of all this.
Feel that deeply. I do.
Yeah. Like, she loved both of us so much that I think that she is living through us in a way because she, just quickly, was a very sick person, and you would never know it. She had the best spirit, the most spunk, the most energy. She was sickly most of the time, yet all she would do was laugh, treat people nicely, think of them with little token gifts. Like, and she, everything she did was meaningful. So she was so inspiring that, like, her story, I think, lives on through us, sort of. Because I'm really not a funny person. Clearly, Steve is the funny one. But she, you know, I laugh. I mean, I'm fun, but I'm not funny, you know. And she just really helped us.
By the way, this girl's funny. I mean, I
cry. Yeah.
You know, like
yeah, she's funny.
Yeah, you know, like it's like Lucy and Ricky. You know, Lucy was the obvious funny one, but you know, Ricky's expressions and you know, a funny person needs you know a straight person, and she's hysterical. She's my. You know what people say? We remind. Remember, who do people say that we remind them of? We got so many emails, Charlotte.
That's true.
No, this is God's honest truth. they say we remind everybody of Howard Stern and Robin on the radio. I don't know if you know them on the show.
Sure.
The chemistry, you know, between us,
Robin.
And also Elaine, and, you know, Elaine and Jerry. But more, you know, we're getting more of the Howard Robin thing lately.
Okay. Well, that's good. Look at where they are.
Oh yeah, just the chemistry, you know, in terms of co-hosting and bouncing, you know, because the best, you know, I do listen to them, you know, now and I'm always in the car, Charlotte, so I'm always listening to satellite radio.
Right.
And so I listen to them, and sometimes I forget they're even on the air because when they don't have any guests and they're just talking about what they did last night, I just am so, like, fucked up in there, and they just laugh about silly things. And I think that's, you know, our winning combination, you know, possibly.
Yeah, so one day you just pulled up, you turn to Michelle, and you say, hey, I have an idea. Let's take what the boobless widow with structural issues next door used to say, and we'll call it Laugh or Grow Crazy, and it works.
Right.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have you on our show one day. You know, we can't wait to get you on our show, Charlotte.
That went over like a lead balloon, so let's move on. Do you have any other, like maybe some a few other favorite show episodes that were either funny or profound?
Well, what do you think, Michelle? There was one. What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking of anyone specifically. The problem I have is I forget. We talk so much, I forget what conversation was in what show. So I'm not.
There was one show called. There was two. There was one Make a Memory,
mm-hmm.
and the other one
Night
Swimming. Night Swimming, and it was inspired by the REM song, Night Swimming. I don't know if you know REM.
I do.
And and Night Swimming is actually a very poetic, beautiful lyric. And, you know, again, in the car, I'm driving and I'm listening to this song and I'm starting to, like, cry and, like, get emotional. And I don't know why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it must be a message. You know, there must be a reason. And I have a story to tell. And, you know, it's got to come out.
Yes.
So I said, you know, Michelle, I got the lineup tonight. We're going to build it all around the lyrics, Night Swimming by R.E.M. And... you know, basically the message behind Night Swimming, you know, so often we get stuck in our lives. You know, we're not spontaneous. It's funny. I opened up the story with our friend Jen coming out to my condo for the weekend. And she said, I'm coming out. She didn't even ask, by the way. She said, I'm coming out on Sunday. I'm packing a bag. And I want, fried chicken, and I want to go night swimming, and I don't even want to hear no. And I'm like, oh, it's buggy, it's cold, it's October, night swimming, where are we going to go? You know, like I sounded like I'm 80, right?
Right.
And she's like, no, get in the car, so we get into her Jaguar, right? And she's got the music playing and the sunroof open. You know, because she's living like she's dying, Charlotte, because she knew
mm-hmm.
she didn't have much time left. And, you know, if everyone can just remember that.
Yeah.
We have to start living like we're dying because
mm-hmm.
we don't have much time.
I love that
song,
too.
And, yeah, right, exactly. And so this Night Swimming was all about enjoying the simple moments. And, you know, if you're on the beach and you're taking a walk, and, you know, it's summertime, and someone says, let's jump in. What's the first reaction you're going to have? I don't have a change of clothes. Then I'm going to sit on my leather seats all sandy and wet. No, you should have told me we were going to be spontaneous. I would have packed. Right?
Yeah.
I would have packed a bag if I was going to be spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point about it is spontaneity you can't plan for.
Yeah.
You have to just do it. And so this Night Swimming episode was all about embracing life and, like, living it out loud and, like, jumping in the water and, you know, going down the road and your passenger is out the sunroof singing their favorite song, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just about memories, making memories with your loved ones and your partner and your relationships and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that at the end of it all, Charlotte, it's not about the money and the houses and how famous you are. It's about human connections and relationships and memories.
Absolutely.
And if you're not living like that, then you're just punching a clock and going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's what that episode was about.
Yeah. And to do that and just stick with the mundane and not open up to, because some of the best experiences are the spontaneous ones. I have a lot of memories on that. And how monochromatic can life be? You know, and you want vivid color. You want to breathe. You want to breathe in life and smell the roses and do all that good stuff. And speaking of night swimming, I'm reminded of my second anniversary with Alan. He took me to Fort Myers Beach. Have you guys ever been to Florida? Do you vacation here at all?
I was just down in Clearwater last month.
Oh, okay. Well, in Fort Myers
Tampa
Beach.
Tampa and... Oh, no, not Clear. St. Petersburg and Clearwater.
Oh,
yep.
It's beautiful there. And, well, anyway, on our second anniversary, we went away for the weekend. And he surprised me, you know, with all these wonderful surprises. It's a gorgeous, huge bouquet with birds of paradise in the room when we got there. It was all very sweet. And then I made this awesome dinner, and then he said, I have a surprise for you. I said, okay, another one. And he says, put your bathing suit back on. We're going swimming. And this was at, 9 o'clock at night? I said, you can't swim in the ocean in the dark. You know, he says, come on. So I had to kind of get over my fear. But I got into the water, and we walked out, and he made me kind of kneel down. It was pretty shallow. He says, now take your arms and wave them back and forth. I said, just wave them? He said, wave them back and forth. Like this? Yes. He says, now look down and tell me what you see. There are these organisms in the water with biophosphorus, they're bioluminescent, and they were lighting up like fireflies in the water.
Oh, how beautiful.
It's one of my favorite memories. So if you ever get back down to Florida, you know, let me know, and I'll send you to where you can go do that. But it's awesome, you know, the night swimming, and then to have a surprise like that, fireflies in the ocean. It was amazing. So I love your story, and I love how it reminded me of one of my favorite memories.
Yeah, that sounds
wow.
Very spiritual, very beautiful, right? I mean, that's gorgeous.
Yeah. I turn everything pretty much into a spiritual experience, pretty much, except, you know, taking out the trash. Well, that can be. No, that is very symbolic. I loaded up two trash bags full of stuff. I let go of some things in my closet that I cherished for one reason, and then I kind of realized, you know, maybe you think in the back of your head that you never got further than where you were when you were able to wear that dress. I was supposed to be on Star Search. You remember that show?
Yeah. Oh, I love Star Search.
Yeah. Well, the dress
that
I had.
Was Ed McMahon?
Yeah. With Ed McMahon.
Okay.
And the dress I had was hot. It was leather and lace with the shards of lace going down. Oh, it was beautiful. And, you know, what messed that up was my agent decided to pull that casting couch nonsense. And then I decided at that moment, I said, I don't have to do that. It wouldn't be the first time I sang solo on national TV, and I'm not going to do that. So he said, well, have a nice life. I said, yeah, whatever. I mean, it kind of broke my heart. Like, you know, that's pretty cruel. But that's the moment I said, I don't think I have the wherewithal to pursue a career like this. I don't have the thickness of skin. I don't have the emotional support. So I think I'd rather just work on my soul, and that's what put me on this path. So, of course, I want to, you know, kind of bless that experience, but there really isn't any reason for that dress to be hanging in my closet any longer just because it was expensive. You know what I'm saying? So it's in a bag.
Right.
I took a picture of it, and I hope somebody who wears a size 1 enjoys it. That's all.
Right. And I think that's amazing that someone else will have a story to tell in that dress now. You know,
yes.
Like you could actually let it move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. And that's a different way to think about it, you know?
Well, I felt that, you know, and because the show has me so inspired and the people I'm meeting, like, you guys are delightful. And I woke up and I went and found the dress and I looked at it and I said, could it be that we remember something for one thing, but the energetics of it are affecting us in another way? So if I let that go, I can, like the earlier story with Lori, where the dad said, you know, did you fail? And I said, she learned to reach higher. So I wondered if that was my limit, if the Star Search experience, as miraculous as it was, and the reactions from the people in the studio, and then when I walked through the door, some lady was packing up her kid and saying, let's get the heck out of here. She's going on the show, not us. And I was like, whoa, whoa. I said, that's not fair. That is not fair. That kid's 12 years old. I'm 19. Don't do that. Don't make me have to be the villain, okay, just for doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if that's more what I remember, but I just don't want to look at it? So I looked at the dress, and I said, you know what? It's time for you to go. I appreciate the experience. And I took a picture, and I folded it up, and I put it in the bag. And what if that was preventing me from reaching higher? Does that make sense?
It does.
So I did
definitely.
It. So I retract my earlier statement. Yes, taking out the trash is a spiritual experience. Include all experiences under that heading.
No,
yeah,
it's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you guys, on your show, do you guys ever have guest speakers, or do you bring other people into the mix to kind of switch up the conversation? What do you guys do?
We do. We had, I think it was two or three, no, maybe
four.
But four podcasts where we had guests on. Two of the podcasts we knew the person that was on, and then the other two we had callers. We had, I think, three or four callers, and it was really quite an amazing experience to have some of the listeners call in and tell us their story and where they're at in their lives, and it's just like more food for thought for everyone
mm-hmm.
else listening. So it was really a wonderful experience, and we plan on doing that again soon. You know, opening it up, yeah.
I enjoy it. I have met the most wonderful people, so if you're looking for inspiring guests, just give me a call, and I'll send you a list.
Oh, that's great, actually.
Amazing
really like
people.
That.
I swear to God, amazing people that are just... To hear them talk, it's just riveting. They're wonderful. Wow.
Well, we would love that.
So what can listeners, I hope my listeners too, I'm going to tune into your show and I hope my listeners tune in. What can they expect to, in upcoming episodes, what are you planning to explore? What can we all expect to hear in the coming months?
Well, you know what's funny, Charlotte, that you asked that question? We never really know. Steve does a very good job of taking notes along the way, so when we are, don't see each other every day anymore, so he kind of jots down things that happen or little notes, but we find that many times we set out with an agenda, and somehow I think just whatever is meant to be is meant to be. It just happens, so our storyline changes, you know, right, yeah, in mid-podcast. But most of our stories are inspired by things that happen to us in our everyday life. And sometimes we have listeners that call in and they request a topic, and that we do that a lot too. Like we had a listener call email us a few weeks ago asking for us to speak to what was it? Friendship. Remember friendships. Like, can you speak to, you know, I have many long-term friendships, and some of them are just not fulfilling anymore. And, you know, what do you advise, or what experiences have you had? And so that turned into a podcast, or part of our podcast. So we go with the flow, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that the friendship thing was hard, I think, for me personally, because you know, what we said during that podcast, I can't remember which one it was, but we were saying that good people aren't, you know, you may have a, you know, you have friends in your life, and you say, you know, I feel so bad, they're such good people. But they drive, you know, they're not good for me, but they're good people.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to really bring up the fact that good people don't necessarily have to be good for you. And because good people are jealous, good people are competitive, good people are looking out for themselves sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, like, but they could be great to their mother, they could be great dad, they could be a great husband,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean, Charlotte? So,
uh-huh.
You know, we were talking about taking inventory with friends, And are you a good friend? You know, are you that person? Are you good but not good for somebody else? And, you know, because we often, we don't just sit and record and talk about everyone else. It's really looking within and seeing if we're actually good friends and good
right.
people and good for others. And so, you know, if the answer is no, then you have to work on yourself. But if you have people in your life that are bringing you down or holding you down
uh-huh.
or keeping you stagnant, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, we were talking about, you know, weeding the garden every so often. You know,
absolutely.
They're good people, but it's okay to let them go.
So
yes,
when you ask what our listeners can expect, I think they can expect to be surprised. And I think that if they have something in their life at the time or at the moment or the last week or whenever it may be, they are welcome to email us. And we really do try to touch upon that topic as quickly as we can. We really do.
Right.
We try to respond to emails right away, and we try to talk to whatever it is that they're asking for. So we do respond to the audience, and we are definitely like more spur of the moment. Kind of,
right.
Whichever way the wind blows, our conversation goes.
But that's what keeps it interesting for us, at least for me anyway. The spontaneity and the comedy are primary. And the agenda is very loose. But every breath that we take on the show is all about living our best life. And if it means that, you know, we're unscripted and, you know, it's funny that some of the best shows I love, you know, I remember, you know, you got what's her name, Kelly and Michael, or Kelly and Regis. Remember that first
yes.
10 minutes? It's better than the whole show.
Yes,
in my opinion, because they don't have an agenda. They're going out and talking, and it's like improvisation. You said you did some theater, right, Charlotte?
Yes, I did.
Well, I did theater in a little bit in college, and I looked at the director. I said, I don't want a script. I just want to talk. You know what I
yes.
mean? Put the script away.
I loved it.
Yeah. And so the improvisation, I think I'm just improvising with, with this show, but that's the fun part. So I guess what do people expect? They're gonna get a little ride. They're going to get a wild ride with us.
Well, I think that's perfect because that will resonate with anybody without regard to age, gender, culture, what they do for a living. It just speaks to everyone and the basic common denominator that we all just want to live our best life. But sometimes we need to hear how someone else is doing it first or what they're doing wrong to kind of figure out what that means for us. And I love your talk about friendships because, you know, there are people, they are good people, but some people, I call them psychic vampires. And it's those people who are always talking about their problems or taking up your time to hear them cry. They're called psychic vampires, and some relationships can be parasitic where when the person gets the idea that you'll stop what you're doing to let them recruit you into their story about what a victim they were that day
right.
in whatever scenario, and it starts to drain your energy. And I finally got up the courage to say, I do not have room in my life for false friendships. I don't. I need it to be genuine. I need it to be authentic. And if it doesn't meet this criteria, then I will respectfully back away. And I am surrounded by the most fabulous friends. I have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. And it's been wonderful, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Charlotte. That's the way I live my life, and I learn along the way, but there are many people that I just don't have time for in my life, and I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. It's nothing like that. I just feel exactly the way you do. It's just not for me. If you are not going to genuinely care for me as I will you, I just don't have time for it. I don't need to fill. I don't have an empty cup where I need to fill it with a lot of people. I'd rather have a few really good friends. And I am very fortunate that I have many really, really good friends that I truly love, you know. And I
yes.
see around me so many people who just fill themselves up with
so many obligations and friends and acquaintances and friends, and they just want to be invited. They just want to be there, and I just don't feel the need, you know? And it's funny, you said vampire. I have to tell you, you know, getting back to quickly, our friend who passed, we had another friend who passed also in the same wing that we worked in. We had two friends, teacher friends pass that we worked with in the same hallway, okay? And we were very good friends with both of them, very, very close, like dear friends. And he used to say, our friend Mike, and it just, I have to say it out loud because I want to acknowledge him. He used to say, Michelle, they're like energy vampires. They just suck the life out of you. So when you just mentioned vampires, you know, psychic vampires, and it's funny because Mike and I am like you in the way that, you know, there is some sort of psychic connection, you know, and he was also that way. And so we had a lot in common, and we used to talk about that a lot. And it's just like as if he is acknowledging himself. I think that's funny. I mean, whether you believe in that or not, I know I do, so I had to make the connection with you.
No, he's in the room. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and he was just, he was another phenomenal person with so many qualities who lived for the moment. Although, you know, everyone makes choices, and sometimes they're not the best choices for them or for, you know, I don't make the best choices for myself. But he learned how to do anything he wanted to do, whether he wanted to play an instrument, whether he wanted to make candles, he wanted to make soap, he made me a beautiful leather pouch for my cars. Like, he just lived to the fullest. And he died young, and I don't know if there's something to be said for that. Like, maybe inside we know something. And we can't put our finger on it, but we know, and we live a little bit differently, but he lived like that as well. So I just had to make a, you know, say that out loud and validate it. Yeah.
It's amazing what the soul knows, and especially when it knows that this will be a short lifetime, you know, a little on the brief side. It's amazing. I've heard countless stories about how close to the end of someone's life, they kind of went around saying goodbye in sweet ways. It's very interesting. But yeah,
it
I mean, that's a lot of what I do on the show too, with the psychic stuff and some of the reality aspects of death and life and all that stuff. But I have had the most amazing time talking to you guys. Did you have fun?
Oh, we did.
Oh, I loved it.
Good. I hope you'll come back.
Let
me know if you want to come back, and we'll get you back on the air, and we'll talk about some really cool stuff. And get into some pretty profound topics. I think, you know, we'd all have a lot to share, you know?
That sounds great, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having us on. It was really an honor, and it was just a great night.
Thank you so much for that.
I concur. And we are going to get our act together so we could have you on. And I'd love to do, like, you know, every couple of months get together. This is great.
If you like, I do dream interpretation too. That's amazing. When
my
dream.
This is
what?
My avenue, Charlotte. This is my love, the psychic stuff, the dreams. That's my end of it. I love it.
Well,
you know,
if you want to do dream interpretation, you'll be amazed.
Yeah, it's so funny. We talked the other night about dreams on our episode. I think it was New York Minute or something like that, and we were talking about sleep paralysis.
We'll have to talk about that.
No, it's a whole thing, Charlotte. Yeah, and so we really could benefit from talking to you about this.
Yeah,
because I can't get out of bed.
Okay, I know, because you were half stuck in and out of your body, but all you have to do is relax, close your eyes, relax, and allow the spirit to sink back into the body, and then it reattaches to the chakras, and then you can wiggle your fingers, move your toes. Okay, I'm back in. Now you can get up. It's a little frightening, but once you get used to it, like, oh, no, not again, and then just allow it to sink, because when it comes back too quickly, it gets stuck half in and half out, and you can't move your body. Yeah, it's interesting. But I will send you a link to a segment that I did that I think you'll enjoy, if that's okay, and I want to tell the audience where to find your show. Or do you want to tell them?
Oh, okay. You know, you can find us on Facebook, definitely. That has a lot of our information, facebook.com/laughagocrazy.
Uh-huh.
We're also on Podbean, Or you could just Google us, Laugh or Go Crazy, and all of our links are there.
That's
but
probably
also, true. People like
yeah.
Oh, so you could download our show for free on your little iPhone or Droid and right on iTunes. So if you just search Laugh or Go Crazy on your iTunes store, we're there.
Perfect. Yeah, you're on iTunes,
yeah.
Podbean, Twitter, Facebook. And just to let everybody know, Steve and Michelle would love to hear from you. So be sure to check their Facebook page. They also have information on how you can call in during their live podcast. And if you have a story or a comment you'd like to share with them, don't hesitate. You can email them directly at laughorgocrazy@yahoo.com. I hope everybody tunes in. I'm going to tune into your show. I think you guys are great. And I've just had the most wonderful time. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the air.
Thanks, Charlotte. We really had a good time. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon. We'll keep in touch, okay?
Sounds great.
All right.
Charlotte.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay. All right, everybody. That's our show for tonight. As usual, God bless and be at peace. We'll see you soon.